Today we will be tuning into the Abgal Masters. Those are the beings that are amphibian. They evolved on the planet Sirius orbiting, so they are from the star system, that is Sirian star system. They live in the fourth dimension, and they partially live in water, partially live on land. So you can think of them as amphibian. Originally, they spend most of their time kind of half and half, but then they evolved into being more on land, but they still live in caves where there's water. The water is thermal, so it's hot, it's warm, and they can go through that heated water under their channels there to go underneath into more, you know, open waters that are not so warm, and some of them are actually quite cold. But there is a access sort of from the heated water pools that they have to colder water, and their body temperature can adjust to either. So they, like when we think of ourselves as warm-blooded, they will be cold-blooded. It does not mean their blood is cold. This is a typical misconception when people think of, let's say, reptiles as cold-blooded. That does not mean that their blood is cold. It just means that they do not need to maintain particular temperature all the time. Instead, they match their environment. So human beings, we have to maintain particular temperature all the time. Abgal, being cold-blooded, their internal system adjusts to whatever temperature they're in. So if they're in a very moist, humid environment with very heated water, their temperature of the body would match that. If they in a cold water, that's what their body temperature would match, to the point that they can even go into, from our perspective, coma. And it's not actually coma for them, it's more like sleep. So that's how they would rest, and that's also how they would do some of their healing. So they have very different understanding of reality because of that body sort of response to environment that they have. Abgal live in communities. They have families, but they share space in a community. So each family would be sort of a bigger clan, and they kind of live together, usually in one cave, and then another one would be in another cave. By families, I mean quite large groups. So family could be 100 members or 80 members. So we're not talking about little groups. The way they look is they are sort of transparent body. So they do have a body. So if you were in the fourth dimension, they would look very much physical to you. They're about our height, a little bit taller maybe, some a little bit shorter, but pretty much, you know, 6 feet, some a little under. Their skin is sort of transparent and kind of grayish. So you can see like their veins and vessels and a lot of things through their skin. Their musculature is also not as solid as ours. So it's not completely transparent, but it's definitely translucent to some extent. They have webbed fingers. They have webbed toes. They're humanoid. They're vertical. They have two arms, two legs. No tails, to my knowledge. I don't know. I've never looked, but I'm pretty sure they don't. Their heads are kind of elongated this way, and then they have kind of a three-pointed things here on the back of their head. So that would look like a crown, sort of, from our perspective. That's probably because of some marine component that they evolved as a mixture of. Their genetics are a combination of many things, but they are Sirian humanoid genetics and actually reptilian genetics, and together evolved as a completely different project, different experiment. They were not engineered, let's just say. They actually evolved. So the original DNA might have been put together as a project, but then they evolved their own way and their own soul group that went into that and now utilizes that particular form. They are very harmonious beings, very quiet. They don't have verbal communication. It's all telepathy. I don't actually think they can make sounds that we can hear. Everything is internal, and they're always aware of everybody else. They work with the etheric blueprints of whatever simulations that they are in. So that could be, let's say, on their planet, the etheric level. In a fourth dimension, it could be on this planet, in a third dimension etheric level, like what they're doing right now in the third and in the fourth here on Earth. It could be in any dimension that they have the range for. They generally 3D and 4D range. Some of them, they have masters of their civilization that's spiritually more advanced. Healers, they can go into fifth dimensional etheric level to work with the blueprint there. So what Abgal are amazing at is aligning patterns with the most ultimate efficient situation within the blueprint that the simulation, the planet provides. So you can think of it as the most efficient will be the most healthy, because the body naturally is the most efficient organism, right? So that's what Abgal do. They work with those etheric blueprints. Now, how did they do it? They do it through consciousness. They don't sit there and weave anything. And they do have some external technology, but most of their technology is internal. And that means that they utilize their own etheric body to then change it and resonate differently. They kind of match whatever that they're working with that's disharmonious, and then they hold within their consciousness the harmonious version while being connected to the disharmonious one. And then they align, kind of tweak it here and there and here and there until the disharmonious one completely and perfectly matches the harmonious one that they held in the first place. So because they're doing it simultaneously with connecting to whatever being, or they work with bigger structures as well, that had the disharmonious blueprint, they end up actually adjusting that being. So that's how healing occurs in the way that Abgal does it. They don't go in and fix anything. They essentially kind of connect to whatever being they're working with. They hold in themselves the balanced version, and they tune into the imbalance, which they also sort of copy without taking it on, and then modify the copy. But as they do, it modifies inside the being that they're connected to. So before long, that being is cured or harmonized, because now it's matching the harmonious blueprint. That's what's being done on the planet right now, and that's what we want to connect to within ourselves. We will work with that in the meditation in particular, but meanwhile, if you want to tune into Abgal, that is your opportunity, because those beings, you know, don't always come to Earth, so this is really cool because they actually are within the planet right now. And if you're watching this later, where let's say they're not here, you can still tune into the imprint of them, because this video encodes the energy. So as you hold yourself within the parameter of the center of the planet, ask you with your intention that you choose to tune into Abgal, and you will actually be drawn towards this bubble-like energy, which is the space that they set up to do their work. So that way they sort of kind of in and out at the same time. They kind of overlap this reality. And you can experience them. They come in groups, so this delegation is pretty large. I think there's 50-something of them, 56 or something like that. So they don't wear clothes. They just have essentially their body shape, and their skin is the organ that perceives reality. So we use our eyes, they also use their eyes, and the smell and the taste and hearing, but they don't eat the way we do. They live off, I think, seaweed and something else that they breathe through. I can't describe that. But they don't like eat food the way we do. I don't think they have teeth. But they do have resonance through their skin. So sort of like how we have pores, they breathe through their skin much more consciously. So they are aware, like a filter. Their skin then knows if something is on or off in the etheric blueprint of the space around them. And then they naturally become harmonizers for that, because they are aware of what it is. So you can tune into the Abgal delegation right now and experience them and experience their way of resonating this harmonious etheric energy, and how they, like from our perspective, that would be ultimate sensitivity, like to the point that I don't even know how like human being can function with that level of sensitivity. You probably wouldn't be able to leave your house. But they obviously are able to have a better boundary and a better filtration system, in a sense, for the stimuli. So for all of you that are really sensitive, this could be also a really interesting thing to tune into, because you will see how Abgal are handling that level of constant imprint from reality. They have different parameters installed in their field. It's too complicated to describe here, and everybody's in different level of skill and perception as I'm talking to you guys, so I don't want to load you with information, it will not be relevant. But the ones of you who are curious about this and want to experience it, you're definitely welcome to tune into them. They will quickly and easily share with you, like you can ask an Abgal being, show me how you do it. And they will show you the same way how I just described. They just link with you and then they shift it in their field and you will get your own field kind of mimic what they did. And you go, oh, that's how you do it. Now I understand. In other words, you understand by seeing what shifts, changes inside your own system while being connected to one of them. So try that if that's of interest to you. And if you have the skill level to do that, if you don't, then it's not relevant to you, so don't worry about it. But now we will go into the meditation component when I will show you how this could be applied to you directly.